All please rise. Oyez, 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 the Honorable Court of Appeals for the Third District of the State of Texas, sitting in Bell County, is now in session.
Thank you very much. Y'all may be seated. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invite. The Third Court of Appeals is in session. And Justice Thea Fainas, myself, Darlene Byrne, and Justice Ed Smith, we're pleased and honored to be here in Bell County. Thank you. Today is cause number 0323266, CV, Johnny Baker and Lucretia Baker versus Devontae Williams and Swift Transportation Company of Arizona. If I could have counsels announce their appearance and their name and announce ready.
I'm Rosalind Tippett. I'm here on behalf of the appellants, Johnny and Lucretia Baker, and we are ready.
Thank you.
I'm Nathan Winkler. I'm here on behalf of the appellees, Devontae Williams and Swift Transportation Company of Arizona. With me at council table is Adam Strange, who represented our clients at a trial.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. As you know, each side in this oral argument today has got 20 minutes, and I understand that the appellants are going to first start off with 17 minutes, and then the appellees will have 20, and then the appellants have the opportunity to go last and have reserved 3 minutes. I do have a timer up here in front of me, so when we say that your time's up, please wrap up your thoughts, and then we'll turn it over to the other side. In addition, we are recording this. Typically, if we were in Austin, we would actually be live broadcasting it on YouTube. We do not have that capability here, but we are audio recording this, and it will be on the court's website by later this afternoon. So if you are just dying to hear your voice on audio or have your family tune in, they'll be able to hear your arguments a little bit later today. With that, let's turn it over to Ms. Tippett. You may proceed, counsel.
May it please the court.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Rosalind Tippett, representing the appellants Johnny and Lucretia Baker. This is a personal injury case arising from a collision that occurred in July of 2016 involving two tractor trailers. Appellant Johnny Baker was the plaintiff in the trial court, and that case proceeded to court in this county, in Bell County. He brought this action because he was injured when he ran into the back left corner of a tractor trailer that had been parked on the shoulder of the road on the rumble strips, but past the fog line in the early morning hours. That tractor trailer had been pulled over onto the shoulder by Devontae Williams. He was operating that rig on behalf of Swift Transportation. The issue in that case regarded the fact that Mr. Williams failed to place safety warning triangles behind his rig after pulling over within the required time under the federal regulations, which is as soon as possible or less than 10 minutes. The appellee is argued at trial that the rig had its hazard lights on, and therefore, if Mr. Baker couldn't have seen the big truck with its hazard on, it certainly wouldn't have seen the triangles. In other words, if he couldn't see the elephant, why would it have been able to, he been able to see the mice? But it is not the size of the warning, it is the quality of the message that was relevant. As explained by Mr. Baker's human factors safety engineer expert, Dennis Seal, when there's flashing lights ahead, the literature supports that there's a tendency to be drawn to those lights. It's a moth to a flame analogy, and that when oncoming traffic sees those lights, it also can perceive that as a moving vehicle ahead whereas a safety triangle, those are present a stationary specific hazard message.
Didn't the appellant testify that he didn't see the truck until moments before anyway?
Yes, he did. That is exactly what he testified, correct. But with that background, this case proceeded to trial.
Can I just interrupt? If he's already on record saying he didn't see it until moments before, what would safety things have done? I mean, how would he have seen those if he didn't see this truck? Because isn't there also video showing that the truck was visible for around 18 seconds before impact?
Sure. There is definitely testimony that he didn't see that, but the experts for the accident reconstruction expert and Dennis Seal, the human factors expert, testified that based on those studies, that they believe that he would have been able to see that. There was definitely evidence in the record that he would have been able to perceive those triangles. So the jury did have that, and they could have weighed it, and they certainly weighed it. And the jury decided that Mr. Baker was negligent. And, you know, the purpose of this appeal isn't to question or weigh the jury's decision on Mr. Baker's negligence in that regard. Just to back up here, the jury found zero negligence on Mr. Williams and Swift, none at all, and 100% liability on Mr. Baker. So we are here today asking that the court reverse and remand the case back to trial because the trial court abused its discretion in failing to limit the testimony of State Trooper Juan Gutierrez to what he observed rather than his expert opinions on causation that specifically in regards to trucking regulations and the safe operation of commercial vehicles. Having absolutely no qualifications in accident reconstruction, no familiarity with the federal regulations applicable to commercial vehicles, and no training experience at all regarding commercial trucks, the trooper should not have been able to testify to this specific thing, that Williams' failure to place triangles was not a contributing factor, and that had he done so, it would not have made a difference.
Counsel. Didn't the evidence also say that he had done accident investigations for 3 years prior to this particular accident? Why does he have to have specialized knowledge of trucks versus, say, two cars hitting each other if he's done many of those types of reconstructions? Isn't that just going to weight and not admissibility with regard to the quality of his expertise?
No, not in this case. Well, actually, just to clarify, his accident reconstruction training was this basic level, a level 2 crash out of 5. And he basically even agreed that when he was asked his understanding of commercial vehicles and regulations with respect to reflective triangles, he said, "I'm not trained in that." And he's not certified to enforce commercial motor vehicle laws. There are other people that are. He never, and this kind of goes to, you know, Justice's point, he's never, without assistance, reconstructed any major automobile accidents. He's never driven commercial vehicles, so he wasn't familiar with how they maneuver on the roadways. And there is no training with respect to the safe operation of commercial vehicles. Now, why this is important, and this is kind of unique with respect to these particular opinions I've laid out here, is that the jury was instructed in the charge that the failure to place triangles as soon as possible, but not later than 10 minutes, is negligence. The jury found no negligence. So the only way the jury could have found 0% of negligence on Mr. Williams' parts was to wholesale accept the trooper's unqualified causation testimony with regards to the fact that the triangles wouldn't have made a difference.
Now, how are we going to know that at the appellate level? Because you didn't bring up the full record. So if we've got holes in the record, aren't we under the law required to assume all those holes support the jury's verdict? And so there may be other witnesses that they heard from that they believed, and they totally disregarded the trooper. But there's all this unknown evidence out there that wasn't presented to us that we're to assume supports the judgment.
I admit that because the plaintiff in the trial court only requested excerpts from the record without including his statements of points to be on appeal, that this court will presume the portions omitted support the judgment. However, it's notable that, you know, appellees have not actually said what this court must presume the omitted materials represent or how it's relevant or probative.
So, but isn't that the point? If you as the appellant don't bring that up to us, they don't have to point out, well, had they brought it up, it would be this, this, and this. Isn't that burden on the appellant to let us see the entire record without having to make the assumption that these holes support the jury verdict?
I agree that's true, but all of the pertinent information is before the court, all the pertinent evidence, and if there is a hole that is seen, that a presumption certainly could be laid in favor of the appellees in that regard. To that end, not only are we just talking about this officer wasn't qualified to say triangles made no difference, there was no analysis. I mean, he did not actually attempt to perform any kind of reconstruction. He wasn't able to calculate the speed of Mr. Baker's vehicle. Simply, the only thing, you know, he said in explanation was that, you know, whether the triangles are there, that's not going to affect Baker's driving. Well, here we are back into the harmful error analysis, because as this court knows, a judgment isn't reversible simply because there was error. It's only reversible if the error probably resulted in the rendition of an improper judgment. And so to that end, it's important to note, and courts have said that disinterested testimony from a witness who is not hired by either side, such as a police officer, is uniquely persuasive. This was the only witness in the trial who testified under an air of authority with a badge and is not retained by either side. And that is not in dispute, and there's no presumption that can or should be drawn otherwise. He was, Trooper Gutierrez was the single badge of authority disinterested witness.
Was the jury presented with Trooper Gutierrez's lack of qualifications?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
What was Trooper Gutierrez's lack of qualifications in your argument presented to the jury?
It was not, maybe minimally, but not thoroughly. No, no, Your Honor, it was not.
So the jury did not have behooved the plaintiff, who knew that the judge in a pretrial hearing had already said, we're going to let Gutierrez in. Would it not have behooved the plaintiff to have put in front of the jury evidence of his lack of qualifications so that they could, from your vantage point, see that he doesn't have qualifications? But the plaintiff didn't do that, did they?
No, to allow the jury to weigh it. I understand the point that Your Honor makes. However, the fact is, our jurisprudence does not let the fact finder do the gatekeeping job. That job is rested with the trial court and her honor at the time. And if she had properly done her job in regards to gatekeeping, she would have determined that under no rules of 702 standard or any standard for expert admissibility in Texas jurisprudence, should this officer should have ever been sent to the jury as a neutral to express his opinions regarding causation, specifically in regards to the triangle.
Would his opinions have been admissible as lay testimony?
Well, they would have been admissible as lay testimony in a regular car incident where triangles weren't an issue, but because there was testimony from experts in regards to the unique situation that's presented by tractor trailers that drive them, why the federal regulations require that they do certain things that cars don't have to do, then that is why this took it out of the realm of what he could testify as a mere layperson.
As it relates to harm, I mean, isn't it true that in this particular record, the jury not only had Gutierrez's testimony, they had a camera showing your client inside the truck, showing what he was doing, having some thing in his hand, having him look down right before the accident, and an outward facing camera, and they saw actually the accident happen. The jury did, correct?
Well, the appellees do make that argument as to harm and said that basically this whole case, it's very little to do with the triangles and the trooper's testimony, and much more to do with this camera and what they saw Mr. Baker doing. Did he look down? Was there maybe something illuminating? He was bouncing a little bit. Was he distracted? But how I'll respond to that in regards to the harm analysis is that only, even if we just assume the jury could have had it did have factually sufficient evidence to find that he was distracted, that he even fell asleep, you know, that he was really, really negligent, that does not go to Williams' proportion, to Williams' percentage. That's no probative value in regards to his percentage. And because the jury was instructed that failure to place triangles was negligence, for them to come back and say, no, it wasn't, it's only because they had to accept that that's inappropriate causation testimony from Trooper Gutierrez. I'll summarize based on my time, unless there are more specific questions this time. Allowing this trooper to tell the jury that the lack of triangles made no difference and was not a contributing factor without any analysis, without any qualifications in federal regulations or commercial trucking, and while wearing this badge of authority and neutrality, was erroneous. Admission of his opinions probably resulted in the rendition of an improper judgment because the jury was charged with the fact that failure to place triangles was negligence, and the jury could have only placed zero negligence on Williams by wholesale accepting these erroneous opinions. And for this reason, the Bakers, Johnny and Lucretia, appellants in this case, pray that this court reverse the judgment and remand back to the trial court.
Thank you, Ms. Tippett. Thank you. And now we'll hear from Mr. Winkler. Yes, sir.
May it please the court.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to start by taking just a couple of seconds to remark that the last time I was in this courthouse, I was a law student observing, and today I find myself here with an audience.
Well, welcome back.
What I believe is the same courtroom.
Counsel, I'd really like for you to attack straight up Ms. Tippett's argument that they had to take Gutierrez's testimony wholesale because of the instruction in the jury charge that said the failure to put out the triangles equals negligence, and they didn't even put 1% of negligence on your client. How could that be without taking a wholesale bite of Gutierrez's testimony?
There are two reasons you don't have to take a wholesale bite. The first is the jury received the negligence per se instruction, which instructed them that based on the federal regulation, failure to put out the warning triangles, warning devices, usually the reflective triangles, within 10 minutes is negligence in itself. The evidence at trial was not conclusive that the triangles were out more than 10 minutes. The description in the appellant's brief said approximately 10 minutes. Certainly there was evidence that it was longer, even from Mr. Williams and Swift. But we don't know whether the jury chose to credit that testimony or different testimony. Further, the fact that they answered no for Mr. Williams does not mean that they didn't consider him negligent. They could have considered him negligent, but concluded that his negligence didn't cause the collision. There we begin to rely a little bit on Gutierrez's opinion that the traffic warning devices would have made no difference. But Gutierrez was not the only witness who said that. Will Miller, one of Williams and Swift's retained experts, also concluded that the traffic warning devices would have made no difference. He was the one who used the expression, if you don't see the elephant, how can you see the mice?
Also, counsel, I just want to do one bit of housekeeping and make sure I understand your client's position on one issue. I noted that the appellants in their briefing talked quite a bit about their preservation of their objection to Gutierrez's testimony by labeling it inappropriately as a motion in limine versus a motion to exclude or a Daubert motion, some kind of title to strike his testimony in the pretrial hearing. Is it your client's position, because I saw that you did not brief that issue at all on preservation. I didn't read it, anything attacking that. I'm assuming your client's position is they did preserve the objection to Gutierrez's testimony.
You're correct. As much as I would like to have added that issue on review of the record, yeah, substantively, they did request exclusion. The trial court was aware that we were talking about exclusion. I would add that taking the substance rather than the magic word is important not only for their error preservation issue, but also in the officer's deposition. He was coaxed into using speculation language and similar. What he was actually talking about in the deposition, when you read it for its substance, is the inherent uncertainty of not knowing for sure, not being able to go and see how he would have reacted had those reflective triangles been there. So that, you know, we should not take the presence of that magic limine word in the motion or the word speculation. We should look at the substance in both cases.
Thank you, counsel.
Speaking of substance, counsel, your opponent argues that the trooper had no methodological basis in his conclusion about the reflective triangles. Do you agree with that, or was there a methodology at use, and if so, what was it?
I think there was a methodology, but I think that it doesn't need to be a sophisticated methodology. The appellants want this to be an accident reconstruction case, but I think there's a distinction between accident reconstruction and accident investigation, and the case law does not always make that clear. In the Walker v. Rangel case that the appellants rely on, you had a dispute between parties as to whether the collision was a sideswipe or a T-bone. And you had the investigating officer and one of the retained experts trying to figure out the angle of the collision. And there you needed some math, some knowledge of physics. It was really important to try to be able to make the distinction between those two versions of events. No amount of traffic investigation experience qualified the investigating officer there in order to provide the accident reconstruction that was required by the case. Here you've got a situation where a commercial trucker driver, Baker, is driving on the shoulder. He's missed the visual cues of the fog line, of being able to see the rumble strips, of the tactile and auditory signals that he gets from the rumble strips, and he drives into Mr. Williams' trailer with something like 2 feet of overlap. This does not require the kind of calculations of an accident reconstructionist.
In the world of PI, I've always thought as automobile accident cases is that doesn't the person that gets rear-ended always win the cases? I mean, isn't it kind of like a rule if you're the one in the back and you bump somebody, it's always your fault? What are your thoughts with regard to this instance? Of course, Baker is asserting that although I ran into the back of you, I should have won or at least had some percentage of negligence on your client.
If I've followed the question, I've heard the same general rule of whoever is in the back of the accident gets cited. And, you know, they're the person whose insurance comes responsible. I don't know that when you really get into the details, that's necessarily true, but I think it does follow that Mr. Baker driving into Mr. Williams, the general rule is borne out here, the person who did the driving into the car in front of it, the tractor trailer in this case, is the one who's liable. And certainly, even Mr. Baker's expert witnesses testified that he made mistakes. There's no issue with the jury finding that Mr. Baker was liable. The question is about the admission of evidence that led to Williams not being found responsible.
What about your opponent's position about the, you know, cloak of expected balance, because Gutierrez is the only non-hired expert, and so therefore Gutierrez has got some heightened persuasive authority with the jury versus, you know, the hired gun experts that each side had.
So the review is of the entire record to see whether the error was harmful, if indeed there was any error. That doesn't support a per se rule that, you know, when you've got the officer who's the one witness not retained by either side who's opining on liability, that that's necessarily harm. In Walker v. Rangel, again, which the appellants rely on in their brief, there you kind of had a swearing match between the parties of one account versus the other. This is not that swearing match. This is a case where you've got 10 seconds of video before the accident, where you've got the appellant's own witnesses saying the video is the best evidence, the jury can see for themselves. The video was played repeatedly. You don't need the officer to come in and be the deciding voice the same way. The officers did testify, you know, he is independent, but he was also not a live witness when the others were. He's not necessarily the most compelling of the witnesses at trial.
And I have down here too, was there 23 other witnesses? Is that about right?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of those were doctors on the damages side. So probably we have most of the liability witnesses in the record. But there are, as we've spoken about already today, there are holes in the record. One of the things that we don't know, because it was not requested to be in the record, was what emphasis was given the officer's testimony in closing arguments. Another notable hole in the record is the officer's testimony that was played before the jury. What is in the record is an exhibit that has highlighted portions of the officer's testimony in the reporter's record, and there's copies of his deposition transcript in the clerk's record. But the reporter and other witnesses played down, included the videos that were played in the course of those other examinations. Nothing similar is here. What was presented to the court, to the jury, was not what is in the record. Given that no special knowledge is needed for accident reconstruction here, as opposed to an accident investigation, that would follow that the lay testimony that Ms. Tippett said would be admissible for a car accident should be admissible here as well. That was a point that the appellants did not brief, but was put before the trial court as a reason to allow the police report and the officer's opinion testimony.
Would the placement of the triangles have given Ms. Tippett's client at least a few more seconds to possibly recognize what's in front of them? I think we had from the video X number of seconds that they would have known, but the triangles would have been like 200 feet behind the truck. Was there anything in any of the testimony or the evidence about the extra seconds he might have been given and being warned of the truck that was stopped on the side of the road?
Here we get into a little bit of the uncertainty that the investigating officer noted in his deposition of you can't run the counterfactual to know for sure. It is possible, as the officer himself recognized, that had those triangles been there, maybe something caught his attention. But based on all of the evidence in the record, no, not really. The video shows 10 seconds prior to impact, Will Miller testified that the trailer was visible with its flashing lights, approximately 18 seconds, 18 and a half. In that time, commercial truck driver who is trained to look ahead 15 seconds for hazards doesn't catch a lighted trailer with its hazard lights on. He doesn't react to feeling or hearing the rumble strips, misses the visual cue of the fog line on the side of the road, and crashes with an overlap of about 2 feet into the trailer. This is not a near miss where just a little bit of warning might have changed things. The video shows him looking down. The inward facing video shows him looking down in coordination with his hand coming up. After the collision, there appears to be an electronic device in the cab in the air. This is a case where the evidence is overwhelming that Johnny Baker wasn't paying attention. The reflective triangles wouldn't have made any difference. And not only would the Bakers need Williams to be found negligent, but they would also need Williams to be found as negligent or more negligent than Johnny Baker. And the extra level of warnings for the reflective triangles, the Bakers have not shown that the jury likely would have considered that equivalent to a commercial driver driving a tractor trailer at 63 miles an hour on a cell phone.
Thank you. And counsel, do you agree that the record is devoid of any evidence of Gutierrez's qualifications or lack thereof in accident reconstruction or accident investigation, whichever one is relevant to this particular accident?
So keeping with the distinction between accident investigation and accident reconstruction, there is some evidence of his qualifications. Mostly, he's qualified for accident investigation. As Ms. Tippett noted, he has level 2 training. I would disagree with the characterization that that's the basic training. Certainly not the highest, but it's also not level 1. He had 3 years of experience at the time of the accident and 6 years by the time of his deposition. and had investigated 200 accidents by the time of his deposition in those 6 years of experience. I think the record shows that he's amply qualified to do accident investigation. When you get into the accident reconstruction, if that's what the court determines actually was necessary here, there he wouldn't be qualified. He hadn't done a reconstruction on his own at that point. He'd had some training, but he didn't use the accident reconstruction training here. Again, you know, this is not a situation that requires him to pull out those formulas to determine speed based on skid marks or the force of the impact. But if the court were to determine that that level was necessary, then he wouldn't be an accident reconstructionist.
And then I assume that your position would be, your reliance would be on, well, even so, there was no harm.
Certainly there's no harm. The court doesn't even need to get into the details of why there's no harm, because the missing pieces of the record require the court to presume that that evidence was relevant and would support the judgment. And in particular, the absence of closing arguments to know how much influence was put on any erroneous evidence. The court just would need to find that there is no harm. The court's questioning has taken me through my prepared remarks. I note that I got a little over a minute left. I'm happy to yield the time or answer any remaining questions.
Any questions, judges?
I don't.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Counsel. And Ms. Tibbett, for your rebuttal, ma'am.
Remaining time, I just want to address a couple of things. Counsel suggested that I maybe downplayed the officer's qualifications when I said that a level two crash training course was pretty much the basic. That isn't my characterization of the crash course. It was Trooper Gutierrez that testified that the level two crash school that he did was pretty much the basic reconstruction as far as computations on speeds, skid marks, and being able to calculate speeds by using those. In this case, there was testimony from plaintiff's accident reconstructionist that the shoulders have two purposes. And one was they're needed for an emergency stop. And two, they're used for when you deviate from your lane and it gives you an opportunity to correct back without any incident. You know, we know that we probably all hit those rumble strips a little bit and gotten back in line, and that's what it's there for. But this case isn't about, this appeal isn't about whether Mr. Baker was negligent. The jury had factually sufficient evidence to decide that he was. This appeal is whether or not they were not able to properly judge the negligence of Mr. Williams because of the erroneous admission of causation testimony by the gatekeeper.
Is it your opinion that Mr. Williams' negligence is only related to failure to put out the orange triangles?
No, Justice Smith. Obviously, We've put out several reasons why it's erroneous, or why his conduct was negligent, but that was essentially the main reason. The evidence showed that actually, the expert testimony showed that it was disputed whether or not he was having a mechanical emergency, and there's lots of evidence of why it was disputed. And also the evidence was he should have and could have, even with a mechanical emergency, pulled off to the next exit and left that shoulder to do its job, but that didn't happen. So there was evidence the jury could have considered. And finally, I might be running out of time. I just want to say that there was an admission by Mr. Williams that when he said, he was questioned. And then it says, to place reflectors within 10 minutes of stopping, you didn't do that either, correct? No. That's not correct, or you didn't do it? I didn't do it.
And
thank you.
Thank you, counsel. I appreciate the briefing as well as the argument. Judges, any questions that are left of either counsel?
I don't have any, no.
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. This case will be submitted and the court will stand in recess. Thank you very much. Thank you.
All please rise.